following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
All right. If you would turn to Mark 21. You ready? This is the title. John the Baptist needed what we freely have. Mark 1:21. John the Baptist needed what we freely have. I want to show you something here. A day in the life of Jesus. Mark 1:21. And they went into Capernaum. By the way, Capernaum was kind of the town Jesus seemed to have hung out in more than almost any other. In fact, when he upbraided the cities, he rebuked the towns one time. He says, "Woe unto thee, Capernaum, for you were lifted up to heaven, shall be thrust down to Hades." Apparently, Jesus was able to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth to Capernaum. Significant signs and wonders. It wasn't the repentance, unfortunately. But he was in Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he's taught as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, this is how they did church with Jesus. He's in church sharing, and all of a sudden a demon screams out, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, you Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." A demon screams out and attests to his divinity. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and literally the little Greek is, he said, "Be muzzled." That's the Greek. Be muzzled. Or hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice and came out. That was a deliverance of a demon right there in church. That's biblical, guys. Verse 27. And they were all amazed, and so much they questioned among themselves, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he even commands the unclean spirits and obey him." One thing about Jesus, he didn't just share the word, he demonstrated the word. He was not shy about saying it and then doing it. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. You know the key to church growth? Y'all want to know the key to church growth? You don't have to publish flyers, rent an airplane with a banner, put it in the newspaper. All you got to do is have public deliverance of demons in your meetings, and immediately your fame will go out. May not be the best fame, but the one. How about public healing, opening the eyes of the blind? Open the ears of the deaf. I heard, read recently about a fella several years. He was a drug addict, criminal gangster guy that got saved radically, about 20 years ago. And he was in South Africa, and he went down, I think I shared this. He was doing a meeting that evening, but he was so antsy, he said, during the day, he just wanted, so they took him to one of the, he said, "Take me to the worst area in town." I don't know if it was Cape Town or somewhere. So they took him down to one of the worst areas. Gangsters, and they had these big apartment complexes with bars on all the windows. And he was in the parking lot with a friend of his that had a guitar. And they were playing his music, and he yelled through a megaphone, through a translator, "Do they speak English in South Africa?" I forget whether they translated or not. He said, "If you have anyone blind or deaf, bring them down and Jesus will heal them." And people were looking out. It was a gangster area, you know, and bullet holes all over them, bars. On the anyway, he kept singing. So finally they brought this old blind guy out. And, you know, he laid hands. The Lord was instantly healed the guy, instantly. And I think the reason is because he had the guts to say that. And then he said what happened was, this is Todd Bentley. Okay. What happened was then, all of a sudden, pouring out of the apartments was people with needs, physical needs. He said the plaza was filled with people. He spent the whole afternoon praying. And he said, it seems almost every single person got healed. And that began this gentleman's crusade. He goes all over the world now. He has a signs and wonders crusade of phenomenal. Frankly, I think he's a bit out of balance if you study this guy's ministry, a little more than a bit. But but nevertheless, Jesus uses him. What Jesus uses is raw faith. Wouldn't that be cool? And you know, that's the kind of thing that brings church growth, real church growth. It's the way Jesus did it. Is that the way Jesus did it? And look what happens. Verse 29. Forthwith they came out of the synagogue and they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. So they went over to Peter's house. The first pope was married because Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. Sorry, I don't tell any Catholics that. And the nun, they tell him of her. He came, and so he gets to Peter's house, and his mother-in-law had a fever. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered to them. Look at this. And at evening, now this is a long day, guys. At evening, when the sun set, they brought to him all that were diseased and possessed with demons. And all the city was gathered at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diseases and cast out demons and suffered not the demons to speak because they knew him. Folks, this was a day in the life of Jesus. Did you know Jesus modeled what it's meant to be a Christian? Can you hear an amen? Now, the question is, where did Jesus get this power to deliver and heal? We know that he's God, but Scripture is real clear that when Jesus came to the earth, he divested himself of his eternal divinity in the sense that everything he did under the power of the Holy Spirit as a model. He said, the things I do, you can do. So where did he get this power? And it's a legitimate question to ask. Where did he get the power to move in such significant deliverance and healing? Well, we can answer that. Look at verse 9, same chapter. Just go back a few verses. We'll find out where he got the power. You ready? Verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, John the Baptist. And straightway, coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descend upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days fasting, if you recall, tempted of the devil, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So I would submit, two things happened, if you look at this, two things were prerequisites to this lifestyle of public deliverance of demons, public healing of diseases, to the point where the whole city, power flowed out of Jesus. Well, you got to look back, two things occurred to prepare him for that kind of ministry. And what were they? One was a baptism of power. The Holy Spirit came down on him. And two, a season of trial and testing and proving. Do you see that? That's what happened to Jesus Christ. A baptism of power and a season of testing. Now, I want to consider this morning the first baptism of power. Matthew 3:11. Turn there. Let's consider this morning. I want to show you something about the baptism of power. This is the key. It didn't just come. Yes, Jesus is God. He was God. But he divested himself of his divinity. He came down weak, and in weakness, he operated under the auspice of the Holy Spirit and did all he did under the power of the Holy Spirit. Something that you and I could do. Matthew 3:11. We read now what John the Baptist said to all the people that were asking him about him. John the Baptist was a curious nomadic fanatic. This is a word, nomadic fanatic, standing out there preaching about hellfire and damnation to the nation of Israel. And they asked him, are you the Messiah? And he says in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than me, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. Notice this now. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is at hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. You know, all of those farmers knew what he was talking about. They knew that you needed to winnow wheat. We actually saw when we were in India, in some of the villages, people literally doing it. They'd throw the wheat and the chaff would be blown by the wind. The separation of the wheat and the chaff. Purifying speaks of a purifying, a testing, and a proving. So there he says, there is somebody coming after me. He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost, and the fire is going to test and prove you. Isn't that interesting? What was it that Jesus needed to move in signs and wonders, healing and deliverance? He was baptized, and then he went through testing and proving of temptation and overcame, right? And notice the angels ministered to him, says in Mark 1. Well, here he's saying, there's one mightier than I. He's going to do that for you. He's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost and fire so that you go through a time of testing and proving. Verse 13. Then came Jesus from Galilee to to Jordan to John to be baptized to him. So Jesus, this is actually his cousin. Jesus went to John to be baptized. Now notice this. But John forbade him and said, I have need to be baptized of you. Why do you come to me? Now for most of my Christian life, I always thought John meant water baptism. I always thought John meant, I have need to be water baptized you. But what just came out of John's mouth about Jesus? What baptism did he mean? In fact, it's interesting. In John, it says Jesus baptized no man. His disciples baptized with water. So what John was saying, I have need. He's standing there. Jesus, he said, I have need to be baptized. What baptism? The one he just mentioned Jesus did. The Holy Ghost baptism. The fire baptism. It's interesting that he had much revelation of this baptism to come. So he told Jesus he needed it. John saw his lack. Now listen to me. John saw his lack. John recognized, I need a baptism from you. All right? Now John the Baptist was a credible figure. Look at chapter 11, verse 2. John had a lack. I'm going to tell you one thing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what it does? It makes you bold. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're likely to be less bold than you can. I'll give you an example. I was born again on July 10th, 1971. All right? Radically born again. Catholic boy, saved at a Baptist revival. Totally saved. Instantly went back to all my druggy hippie friends, turned them all off. Preaching from the mountaintops, well, at least from the wherever I was, turned my parents off. I remember my dad said to my mother, I could understand him doing marijuana. I do not understand this. I was down at the country club. We lived in country club estates when I was a kid. Had a golf course behind my house. That's where I first learned to smoke dope out on the golf course. But it was when I got saved, praise God, delivered me from drugs. And I was down at the country club once day that summer, and there was about 8 or 10, and I was preaching to them, and had a cigarette in my hand, a Marlboro, and I would adjust it with the cigarette as I was talking about how they need to get saved. I never forget somebody said, well, what's the cigarette in your hand? I don't know. You need Jesus. Well, that August 24th, what's that, about 6 weeks later, I went to a Bible study, one of my first times I ever went to anything like that. In fact, I went the week before. I heard where it was in Slidell. I climbed this fire escape, looked in the window at all of them praying. Was scared to death. Got in my mom's car, went home. Took me a whole week to get the courage to go back. Scared to death to go in this room with people praying. I mean, you know, I literally looked in there, freaked out. So you got to have mercy on people that feel that way when they come in here, you know. Anyway, I went back, and by August 24th, I was in this meeting. And it was packed with young people, probably about 50 people. And this young man had been saved 2 years, got up and did the little talk. I remember he had a little drawing of the parable of the sower of the seed. This is my first prayer meeting ever. And I'm sitting right in the front row, just totally into it. And at the end, turns out I was fixing to go back to college in about a week. Lafayette, where I'd really been a party animal, and I was kind of scared going back to college. I'd lose Jesus, end up in the world again. So the pastor at the end, he pointed to me and said, would you say the closing prayer? I'm telling you, my first prayer meeting, they asked me to do the closing prayer. That is scary. So I didn't know what a closing prayer was. I mean, I was a Catholic. I didn't know. I knew that you didn't pray to Mary. So I bowed my head, and this is the way I prayed. I bowed my head and said, oh, Jesus, I need power. I'm scared. I'm going back to college. I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. That's what I prayed. That was the end of the prayer meeting. It came right out of my heart. Had a pack of, I remember, Kools. K-O-O-L. My cigarettes in my pocket. Well, as soon as I lifted my head and the pastor was shaking his head, these two ladies come up to me. They were Catholic charismatics. Those Catholic charismatics were everywhere back then. It was a mama and daughter, and they were bigger wide than they were high. Okay. And they both said to me, you want power? Come with us. So I walked into a back bedroom of this house thing. They sat me in a chair. Now, this is not the way to get someone baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? It's not. They never told me nothing. Nothing. They just laid hands and started making noises, speaking in tongues. And I'm sitting there, to my mom and daughter, and all of a sudden, I threw my head back. I began to speak in tongues. I got to whip them. And boy, they went nuts then. They just, we speaking in tongues. And then I stopped. I went, what's that? They said, that's tongues. I went, what's tongues? And they didn't know anything about the Bible. They said, you get to do it when you get the Holy Ghost. I said, cool. I wasn't hard to... You didn't need much theological persuasion with me, you know. Jesus, yes. Do you know I got my mom's Rambler on the way home, took that pack of Cools and threw it out the window. Sorry, I littered. Never smoked a cigarette again. Folks, that night, I went back that next week to the country club. I then was filled with power. I was bold. I went back to college. College in Lafayette, Louisiana. Just, it was the number two party college, according to Playboy magazine, in 1970. Of course, that wasn't the reason I went, of course. No, that really was, before I was saved. I went back to college, and I was just a little shy guy. I was so shy, it took me a month to ask the girl to my prom, and she was a Pentecostal at that. A month to ask this meek little girl. I was just a shy, real fearful guy. Well, I go back to college after getting the Holy Ghost. All right, I show up at college, and they had two cafeterias on the campus. They had the ladies' cafeteria and the men's. Okay? Well, where did all the guys tend to? They all tend to go over to the ladies' cafeteria. It was official, but you could eat at either one. And so I hadn't been there two or three days. There was this long line of kids waiting to get to the cafeteria, probably about 30, maybe 50, 60 kids. And there was a little concrete parapet on the little stairs. And I stood up on that parapet, and I said to them, I want to tell all of you what happened to me this summer. And you could have heard a pin drop. And I began to tell them how I'd been born again, and Jesus came into my life. Boldly preached the gospel. So got back down, went in, had lunch. And then I noticed for the next week or two, wherever I went on campus, when I'd be walking down the hall, people would see me and get quiet, look down at the floor. Here he comes. So all of a sudden, God just began to raise something up, and there was a band of people came around me. We went out by the lake in the center. We began to get bread. We thought this was scripture. We get extra bread after the meal and go down and feed the fish. Bread, fish, get it? And then all I know is within about September, October, we were in the student union, and there was like 150 students in a big circular room, and I was in the middle preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. I didn't know the gospel. I didn't know but John 3:16. But I gave my testimony, and Jesus was brought a blazing fire. And I met this guy with a one leg who had lost one in Vietnam, and he had a wheelchair. And I led another guy who was a drunk, he had a girl on one arm, a bottle of wine, and I led him to Jesus. We opened a coffee house called Maranatha Coffee House, and the fire of Jesus went through that campus. We had over 600 kids we prayed for in the next two or three months. The fire of Jesus went through Lafayette. God baptized me with power. I was infused with power, boldness. Let me tell you, the key of baptism is boldness. Amen. And look at John. John was the greatest. Look at this. It came to pass, chapter 11. When Jesus had made an end commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to preach in the cities. Now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said, Are you he that should come, or do we look for another? John was in prison doubting whether Jesus was the Messiah. He's the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God. He's the one that said, I need to be baptized of you. And yet he's in prison freaking out. Doubting his divinity, doubting his sonship. So Christ says, well, go back. I'm going to prove I'm the Messiah. Look at what I'm doing. Go show John what you see and hear. The blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead are raised, the poor of the gospel preacher, blessed is he, is not offended in me. John was offended in Christ. See, John said, I need the baptism of fire, didn't he? He said, Jesus, I need you to baptize me. He recognized. And look what Jesus said, unfortunately, in verse 7, Verily I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Jesus literally said he was the greatest prophet. He beat Elijah and Elisha and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of these prophets in power and boldness. And yet he then said, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. John the Baptist was the greatest and most anointed. But Jesus said, you know why? Because he that's least in the kingdom of God gets to get the Holy Ghost. Gets to get the power of the Holy Ghost. John recognized he needed it. John suffered fear and intimidation. The key to Jesus' power was the Holy Ghost. Even Jesus said, I need the Holy Ghost. Even Jesus, he was baptized in water, but then the Holy Ghost came on him. So Acts 1:8, two more places and we'll close. This is the promise, Acts 1:8. Jesus told his disciples, listen, in Luke 24, do not go evangelize the world yet. Tarry and wait until you be endued with power from on high. You guys, you know what's interesting? These guys live with the Son of God, saw him do every miracle imaginable, and yet right before Pentecost, they were all scared, hiding. Weren't they? Fearful, intimidated. And Jesus knew it. He said, you guys are going to need a helper. You're going to need some. And after the helper came, remember Peter and, was it John? Boldly proclaimed, and they said, they knew they were unlearned men, and yet because of the Holy Ghost, they had boldness. In Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That word power there, folks, in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's the same word we get, dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. It's power. It is supernatural power from heaven. It empowers you. It's something bigger than you. When I, on August 24th, 1971, when I got the Holy Ghost, something bigger than Chris got on Chris. Something supernatural came on me. I had no idea that I would go back to Lafayette, Louisiana that next fall and be part of a blazing meteor of fire that would burn through that campus. Now, am I here old enough to remember the Hollywood Free Press? I am really dating myself here. Hollywood Free Press. Not a soul. Lord. The Hollywood Free, you remember it, Linda. Hollywood Free Press was a free Jesus underground paper given out by Dwayne Peterson out of Seattle in the late 60s, early 70s. We get stacks of Hollywood Free Presses, and with the old keep on trucking for Jesus and these crazy articles and everything. Well, we ordered about 2,000 of them. And in Lafayette, sort of like Austin, it's a college town, they had the homecoming parade. The whole town turned out. So we got at the very back end of the homecoming parade, got us a pickup truck, filed Hollywood Free Presses, and gave one to every single person on the parade route. Of course, the next day, the town was littered with Hollywood Free Presses all over the street. It was amazing what Jesus did that fall. Phenomenal power. And I look back, and I'm so grateful. And that launched me, just launched me into a mass. Maxing it for Jesus Christ walk. And it all started with power. Two little old ladies said, you want power? And they laid hands, and I spoke in tongues, and I didn't care about the theology of it. If it's God, I want. I don't understand people who question and critique and analyze. Dude, if it's God, I want it. Get on, amen. Oh, that's for then. Well, if it is for then, I'm going to bug God to bring it for now. Not use that as an excuse. It's silly. Last place, Acts 10:38. Now here's Jesus. This is how Jesus did it. Remember I asked the question, how did Jesus do it? How did we walk around casting out devils, healing the sick? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and there it is, with dunamis power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil, for God was with him. Folks, here's the bottom line this morning. John the Baptist needed what we freely have. Jesus has given us the Holy Ghost. You know your problem is? I'm going to tell you what your problem is. you're probably not filled with the Holy Ghost or empowered with the Holy Ghost. Virtually everything we need is in the Holy Ghost. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given. He's a fire. We have to be purged and tested and proved. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. To purge our life. To give us a passion and a boldness. How many of y'all want to be bolder? We're all too timid. Fear of man. You know, the degree you yield to fear of man, to that degree you do not fear God. You're either going to fear God or fear man. Folks, this week, this coming week, you are going to walk by people that desperately need you to be bold. You're going to walk by people, and as our sister said, people are going to come to you that need you to be bold, to get out of your little comfort zone, to risk saying what an incredibly audacious thing. Can I pray for you? You know, the will of God is not complicated. Somebody comes and says, well, Chris, I don't know what the will of God is in my life. You know, where I should go, what I should do, how I should do it, what job I should have. I said, let me tell you what the will of God is. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Well, what about all those other things? Oh, whatever, do whatever one you want. Just as long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Well, I don't know what job to take. Well, take one of them as long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. Well, I'm not sure where to go. Well, go somewhere as long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse lepers. Well, I'm not sure who to marry. Well, marry somebody as long as you heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and cleanse the lepers. What did Jesus say to do? Am I right? We get off, I'm not sure the will of God. Oh, what, if you go out there and you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out devils, you cleanse the lepers, trust me, the will of God will be all over you. God will lead you exactly where you need to go. Can that amen? That dude that stood in that parking lot, he said, bring down your blind and lame, and God will heal him. He didn't just, he was a fanatic. He was a gangster druggie that got saved. He didn't know the will of God. Guess what? Now he travels all over the world and has campaigns and crusades with 500,000 people. Did God, the will of God followed his passion and boldness for Jesus. What? Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and cleanse the leper. How many of y'all want to know the will of God in your life? You say, I don't know anybody with devils. Turn to the person on your right. I don't know anybody that's sick. Well, I don't know anybody with leprosy. Okay, how about, do you know anybody with AIDS? That's the modern day leprosy. Or you know, spiritual leprosy is bitterness. Anger and... Am I right? Leprosy is a manifestation of bitterness and resentment. Amen? Cleanse the leper. How many of y'all know people that are bitter? You know how I started my ministry? I didn't go to ministry school. Or cemetery. I mean seminary. I didn't go to those places. I just went up to people. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I just did what was natural. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it just flows out of you. Well, that's a demon. You need prayer. Can I pray for you? Well, brother, you need to let that go. You need to repent. Amen? Just do it. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and do it. When you do it, guess what? Everything will follow. The problem is we're waiting around. The only reason you came today, this is the gas station, you came today to get your tank full. Amen? Now, we've topped it off. Premium. Yeah, you're getting some $3.80 stuff today, all right? A gallon. Premium, man. Amen? What's it for? When you come back here Friday, I want that thing to be bone dry. You've used all that gas all week long being bold for Jesus Christ. Can that amen? You've been out there doing what? Freely you've received, freely give. Let's all stand. Jesus. Jesus, say this after me. Jesus, forgive me for being a wimp. Jesus, help me to be bold as a lion, to take on the lion with the Lion of Judah inside of me. Come, Holy Ghost, heal me new. Open the heavens over me. Turn the fire in my life. That you can use me for your kingdom. Let's sing this morning.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.